Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. If you've been listening, if you continue to listen, then we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Stephen Brueger is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Now, about a year and 2 months ago, I went to Denmark. I was invited to go to Copenhagen, Denmark, with a group of Americans to talk about, to share some ideas with the Danes about and other people from around in the neighborhood over there, to talk about entrepreneurship and just share some ideas and get to know some folks. And my host at that event was Stephen Brueger, who's the executive director of the American Chamber of Commerce, the AmCham, in Denmark. And we've gotten to know each other. It's been a great friendship, and he's back with us today. Talk to us a little bit about international trade and doing business from one country to the other. And as I say, he's our good friend, Stephen Brueger. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And what I want you to do first, though, Stephen, I want you to talk about what's been going on the last few weeks. I think my American audience, other people listening around the world on the internet, in other parts of the world, might not find this such a different thing to happen. But tell the audience what goes on mostly in July every year in Denmark.
Well, we pretty much shut things down here, and we all go on vacation, Jim.
You're not talking about just AmCham. You mean the economy, basically.
Pretty much. It's all geared up. All Danish employees get at least 5 weeks vacation annually, and mostly 3 weeks of that must be held in the summertime, so somewhere in July and early August.
Mm-hmm. And so, basically, the Denmark economy is kind of a skeleton crew for 3 to 5 weeks or so.
That's right, and because our members are gone, that means we can also be gone, which is actually kind of nice that everybody decides to go at kind of the same time, and of course you have a little bit of give and take on both ends, and of course when I go back, I usually visit the United States with my family to keep my family plugged into my U.S. side, and that of course I like to stay more than a couple weeks if I can.
So if anybody who's planning on attacking Denmark, July is a good month to go there, right? Right, Stephen?
Well, except for our defenses are here, I can tell you.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that. But that's an interesting thing. Now that 5 week guaranteed vacation is kind of typical across Europe, isn't it?
Yes, I think there's a lot more vacation time that's mandated by the unions and so on. It's been built up over the years, and it's all agreed upon, and it has a lot to do about the quality of life, where, you know, I think a lot of Europeans, don't live to work, they work to live.
Well, you know, I met a guy from the Republic of Georgia who's having their troubles these days, but 2 or 3 years ago, I met a guy from the Republic of Georgia, and he said that in that country, every employee gets 6 weeks vacation every year, and if he hired a new employee and told them to start on Monday, if they wanted to, they could tell him, okay, fine, I'll see you in 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's the worst-case scenario, I think.
That is, isn't it?
But it goes from employer to employer, though. So you build up your vacation, you accrue it with one employer, and it can be actually transferred to the next one.
How much vacation can you accrue?
Well, just the 5 weeks a year. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right. So if I move from one employer to the other, that new employer has to honor the vacation.
That's right. And the former employer actually will pay into a fund. It's a rather complex system. It's, of course, we're also not only are we good at having vacation, but we're also good at making very complex systems over here. So the vacation system is somewhat outdated and complex, but it still works. And once you're in it, it's okay. It's just not easy if you're, for example, as an American, if you come into Denmark and start working, well, you have nothing accrued.
Right.
So you're kind of a lonely person at the post in July.
Right, you're going to get spend a whole month of July on your post there, which, by the way, it's not a bad thing to be in Denmark in July. It's a beautiful...
No, it's not.
It's beautiful country. Well, it's very interesting. Now, to hear, I'm glad you're sharing some of these ideas with us, some of these thoughts on how management works, how the government is involved in mandating certain things over there. American companies don't like that kind of thing too much, Stephen. We don't like the government telling us about vacations and things like that.
Oh, that's right. But again, in Denmark they've worked up. You know, Denmark is quite a unique situation because, generally speaking, you don't.
Go ahead.
Are we still on? Oh,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead,
generally speaking, we do have a kind of a cooperation between the unions and the employers, and it's a good cooperation, and actually it's one of the more successful ones in Europe.
Right. Stand by. Stephen Brugger, ladies and gentlemen, with the AmCham in Denmark. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. Here's Mr. Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Otherwise known as Little Richard. Stephen Brugger is our guest. He's executive director at AmCham Denmark, running the American Chamber of Commerce there in Denmark. And he's been over there for a number of years. He's an American, but you haven't been over there so long that you've forgotten Little Richard, have you, Rich? Have you, Stephen?
No, that's right.
Do you still like that music, Stephen?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Even more so sometimes. It's particularly our 4th of July events. We roll it out.
That's good. Great. Good for you. By the way, congratulations on a new assignment. Folks, you know, you hear me talk about the fact that we don't have any chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience. Stephen, tell the audience how you've been honored recently. And I say honored, maybe you were the victim, I don't know, but you're the chairman now of an association of AmChams across Europe and Eurasia, is that right?
That's right. It's called the European Council of American Chambers of Commerce. We represent 40 American chambers in 39 different countries, stretching all the way from Ireland to Azerbaijan and Israel in the south and Helsinki in the north and Moscow mm-hmm. as well. And this organization is an umbrella of organization that represents these American Chambers of Commerce, and it gives us an opportunity to talk and share best practices with each other and also speak with a louder voice because the group together, all the AmChams in Europe, we represent companies employing more than 20 million workers.
Wow.
And account for more than $1.1 trillion of investment on both sides of the Atlantic.
How would someone in the United States listen to you right now benefit from knowing more about what an AmCham is in another country?
Well, AmCham's all about supporting international business in our respective countries. You know, most AmChams, we're all independent. We're all run our own shows. But on the other hand, we're all accredited by the United States Chamber of Commerce out in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
which ensures that we primarily focus on supporting U.S. business abroad. Now, we provide both a business, social, and policy forum for our members. We facilitate knowledge exchange on topics relevant to the international business community. And, of course, we advocate for a competitive business climate in all of our individual countries. So, in that regard, if your listeners are going to do business internationally, which they should be doing, it's a great marketplace in Europe. We're each other's best trading partners, you know, in spite of all the rhetoric you hear about China and India, you know, the EU and the U.S. remain by far the strongest relationship,
right.
trade relationship on this earth. And
absolutely.
And there's a lot of opportunities there, and that's when we come in, is if anybody wants to get involved and do trade and start promoting products in these countries, well, AmCham is the place to go because we know we have a network. We've got places, you know, troops on site in all these countries that can help
mm-hmm.
you out. And believe me, we try to be friendly.
Well, there's no question about it. I saw the Denmark AmCham in working folks, and it's really a beautiful thing. If you love the marketplace, as I do, it was a beautiful thing. And so, you know, Stephen, what I talk to small business owners about when they wanted to do business overseas, I encourage them to contact our Department of Commerce, the U.S. Commercial Services. I know that you work closely with those guys, but since I've gotten to know you guys in the last couple of years, I've always included the AmCham connection as well, because I think if I were going to take a product or a service overseas, I would want to have both of you guys sitting at the table helping me out, the trade representative from and that organization from the Department of Commerce and the AmCham in the area.
And you're right, Jim. We work very close to you. Our closest partners are the U.S. embassies and the Foreign Commercial Service, and we definitely, add together to make a bigger equation for whoever wants to do business here. Of course, we're private sector and they're government, and that's what we're here for. And we have a great partnership, and we do some great things in Denmark and all over the Europe and Eurasia.
Well, folks, you know how your own Chamber of Commerce works with you in your market, in your local market. Just think of it as having an extension of those folks, the same kind of friendly, helpful folks, but in another country where you may be wanting to go. Let's talk about another thing that you work on a lot is the concept of globalization. Stephen, talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, you know, globalization is important for everybody today. And in my recent travels in the capacity of being the chairman for the European Council, as well as our own chamber here, you know, I have to say that I see some major differences emerging between a country like Denmark that, you know, Danes have been traders for eons. Danes, you know, trade with everybody. They're extremely good at it. And actually, globalization has a positive term, is a positive term, and has a positive impact here in Denmark. And most people recognize that and embrace globalization. And what we're not trying to protect jobs you can't protect, because it's fruitful.
That's right.
In this globalization that's going on, what's going to happen is we have to move up the chain. And so what it's all about is moving forward, re-educating some of our workers to make sure they can take on higher level jobs and move forward and be on top of it. And I think that's one of the things that concerns me a bit back in the United States, is I still think that globalization, it's my perception anyway, that there's not a majority of Americans that are embracing globalization as an opportunity.
It's because of some of the press, and it sure isn't, they aren't getting that idea on this show, Stephen, because I believe that globalization, as I've said many times, globalization is the trade manifestation of our intellectual journey. And all it means is that the Danes were, and the Phoenicians and the Egyptians were doing globalization. They had globalization going 4,000 years ago. And the only thing different about that what they were doing then and what we're doing now is the technology. Otherwise, everything else is the same. We're doing business where it needs to be done, and we need to be doing more of that, and we need our policies to reflect that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back after these messages. Stephen Brueger is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Stephen Brueger. He's the Executive Director at the AmCham in Denmark. It's AmCham, American Chamber of Commerce in Denmark. He's also the chairman of 40 of the organization that represents 40 AmChams across Europe and the eastern and the western part of Asia, I guess it is, all the way up into Russia and the rest of the Scandinavian countries. So he's a pretty important guy. And I want to remind you folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And Stephen, I want you to give us your website, please.
That's amcham.dk, www.amcham.dk.
.dk for Denmark.
That's right.
You know, Stephen, I really believe something, I take very seriously something that Frederick Bastiat said, the French economist and comedian, back in the mid-19th century, he said this: when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Yep.
That's another reason why I believe globalization, there's a peace dividend to be had from globalization. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%, Jim. And it's no more no place more relevant than right here in Europe that's been the site of war after war. And just look at the EU. What's the EU, the European Union, all about? Basically, it's about no more wars.
That's
because
right.
When you're trading with each other, you can't go to war.
And as imperfect as the European Union is, it is perfect so far in terms of countries getting along with each other. And
that's right.
And look what's happening with Russia and Georgia right now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
about
to turn ugly
there, Jim. I don't want to be political here, but on the other hand, you know, Georgia just recently was trying to get into NATO.
Oh yeah,
and we're not accepted, and look where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. We should have accepted them. I admire the Georgians. They're very entrepreneurial over there. They
absolutely
want to embrace entrepreneurship. I've met some of those folks, and one thing I wanted to make sure we got out is that you met with representatives recently of both of our candidates, our presumptive nominees, McCain and Obama. You met with their representatives to talk about their worldview of trade. Could you give us a report on what you found?
Yes, I had the great opportunity to go back. I sit also on the U.S. Chamber's International Policy Committee. We had a kind of a closed session with both trade representatives for the two candidates, and frankly, you know, what I notice is it's about promoting free trade. You know, we in America, it's very important that we don't turn our back and become protectionist. Like I say, globalization, it's easy votes often to say we're going to protect American jobs, but at the end of the day, the best way to protect American jobs is trade, open trade, free trade, opening new markets and new opportunities. And I have to say that the rhetoric coming out of of the Democratic side certainly has a lot of talk and a lot of rhetoric about being not as open on trade, reevaluating NAFTA and the Canadian Free Trade Agreement and so on, which is frankly quite concerning, seen from a business standpoint, because it's extremely important that that America keeps our markets open and that we're carrying the flag for breaking down barriers and trade barriers.
So in advance of the election, in a preliminary meeting with your folks, the Obama representative was fairly blatant about their reticence to be free traders. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think there was. I mean, definitely there was. It was reinforced that some of the statements that Senator Obama has made are what they stand for.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't go so far as to paint it as protectionist, but it certainly the rhetoric goes in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. What about McCain's? What about McCain's?
You know,
the McCain representative. What was his attitude? Her attitude.
I think that was definitely open free trade promotion authority, which hopefully will be restored to the president to actually. I don't know if your listeners know this, but the Congress has the ability to give the president trade promotional authority, which is extremely important in cutting out trade deals with our partners around the world. So I just think the signal we need to send, in spite of, you know, no matter who the candidate is we cannot be closing our markets, that's for sure, because it'll only hurt ourselves. It never works any other way.
On many levels, but including conflicts, because I really do believe when goods cross borders, armies don't.
That's right, and I can go into a lot of other areas, which I probably wouldn't be politically correct, but the message is right spot on, Jim.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen, give us the website one more time, please.
What's that?
The website, one more time?
Yeah, it's www.amcham.dk. And also there's a European site, which you can get in touch with all the Europeans, and that's www.amchameurope.com.
Amchameurope.com. Hey, Stephen, will you come back another day? We'd like to have you back real soon.
I'd love to, Jim.
We've enjoyed having you. Stephen Brueger, ladies and gentlemen, Executive Director of Amcham in Denmark. You'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.